Welcome to the Early Accountability Podcast hosted by Kimmy Walker. Kimmy has a track record of serving as a behavior change and improvement catalyst for individuals, groups, and organizations. Get ready to make the best version of yourself a priority. Now welcome Kimmy Walker.
Kimmy Walker here, and welcome to today's episode of the Early Accountability Podcast. Today, our guest is Mr. Todd Parker of Parker Education and Development. Mr. Parker is a veteran educator, a coach, and a CEO. He has also founded a couple of projects and initiatives and is author as well. So, Todd?
Yes.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about you, a little bit about your company?
All right. Well, Park Education and Development. I know it is, you could say, play it out, education, development, things of that nature. But we do offer PD or professional development. As you mentioned, I'm a coach, trainer, if you will. But we specialize in climate and culture building. The bulk of my successes has been from things school-based, but without it being too bogged down into things that only other educators would know, we have had some success, some preliminary success working with small businesses for workplace, climate and culture building. We also use tools that I've used and work with teachers, coaching them up, if you will, in the strength-based assessment about their personality. Something that I like to call personality mining. And what that is what I've learned, especially in my walk through education and especially in educational leadership, is that we all have a source to our behaviors. And our behaviors, especially depending upon the circle that we walk in, it creates a personality package. So I give the tools, what's different from a lot of assessment tools that are out there already, Myers-Briggs, temperament sorter, all these things that tabulate a bunch of responses and then hand you over your personality or gives you a label of such. I found that it's quite difficult for people to walk in that consistently and genuinely. So I've developed the tools to hand over to people so that they can mine down to the source of why they do what they do. And on the surface, it's not only needed now in the educational field, but I think with the way we're trying to innovate education with relationship building, restorative justice, cultural recovery, and things of that nature, I think it really helps us in this day and age of sociable access, the speed that it has. I think it really helps us be more genuine to one another so we can get out of what I call the impression perception stall. So I have the tools to help you coach yourself into mining down, for instance, why some teachers, by way of the data, by way of just observation, why they may have issues with middle school Black girls.
Right.
Well, let's find out why. Where does that come from? Or what are the issues that you have with middle-aged Black men? And you are a young, you could be a 20-something-year-old Black girl. I like to think Iyanla Van Zandt beat me to the punch. Put it that way.
Okay. So, Todd, talk to us about your mentoring program, A Better Citizen.
That stemmed from a lot of things, again, in my walks in educational world, where I've been to a lot of conferences and trainings and PD that talk about mentoring. Especially, again, I come from a generation where that subgroup, being African-American males, was always a hot topic, a hot-button issue. But by the time I walked into the educational field myself, because my dad is a 30-plus-year retired educator from Chicago Public Schools. Mm-hmm. So I got it through osmosis. And by the time I walked into my own educator shoes, that subgroup, that hot topic didn't go away. And as a matter of fact, it became more prevalent, more blatant to what do we do with them. And again, I mined down to what did it for me, what did it to me and my peer group, as far as who we listened to, who did we respect, how did we go about applying the information that we got. And I guess I'll throw a little shameless plug. I'm starting a teacher's brand called Schooling You, because that was when we really listened to the guys that were a little bit older than us, that we didn't know they were mentoring us. They were just the older guys on the block that we listened to because we admired them. They were schooling us. Come in, young fella. Hey, little Ty, little Billy, let me holler at you. Let me school you up. And from that sort of informal way of letting it be known that you need this schooling, I developed a mentoring program within the ALE that I was the principal of for 2 years. It was a K-6 ALE, representing alternative learning environment. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people in the school world, they may know it, may not, or whatever. But in a nutshell, it is the place that students get sent when they can't handle the regular ed environment, or what the students affectionately call gen pop. So when they are put out, either, and this was K-6, so of course they were recommended. They were on the verge of being suspended so much they were being expelled, you name it. And we had it. And it was full of boys, pretty diverse. But I recognized that they were real thirsty for a lot of that schooling that I know was beneficial to me. So I just incorporated it, put some parameters around it, of course, where instead of us trying to continuously or overdo the type of strategies that we knew would help them, we just used some of the older ones who were, you know, it was kind of in one ear and out the other for them. And the young ones were so, I mean, I'd say 95% of my population that was in there just had those type of homes and environments at home and upbringings. We all know the statistics. So they really appreciated listening to the older guys in the building that were saying some of the same things, but they were saying it a different way, had a different delivery. And a lot of times, one of the recommendations I would have with my staff is those personalities that were compliments to one another. So if they're suffering from the same foster care or abuse in their upbringing, a sixth grader helping out a kindergartner was huge. And it was a huge success. It helped save a lot of those young people that I had in there. And I just happened to call it ABC program, A Better Citizen, just right. Sitting around thinking of something.
When we talk about early accountability, we're really talking about helping people launch or start some kind of new personal or professional project or just self-improvement in general. What kind of advice or strategies would you offer to someone who is getting ready to be in a leadership role, and it may or may not be in education, where they're having to lead people who are different from their culture or their background or their heritage?
Well, that answer is twofold. One, self-reflection / self-awareness. And then the second part is a very reliable and trustworthy process leading to self-awareness. Some of the key elements that you posed in that question had to do with, in a way, leading, or your approach, your leadership style, having to transcend those cultural barriers. And I got to tell you, I probably don't need to tell you, but the way people respond to cultural, number one, gets their, you know, their body reacts. And then when you put cultural diversity together, oh my God. And the lazy immediately look at race. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you again, which is why we have some of the success with small businesses and in the faith-based organizations. When it comes to cultural diversity or leading beyond that, or increasing your cultural agility, what Black folks know as code switching, when you become better at that, that has to be due to some self-awareness, a high level of self-awareness. And that means, at its core, being aware of, if I'm a Black male, I have to know that when I approach different people from different backgrounds, that my delivery may have to change up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And what scares a lot of people when they're already in leadership and they may not be as effective, or they never really wanted to be a boss, but then they found out that they really are now a boss, and they didn't want to be the boss that no one likes, but they found out that's exactly what they are, is because that takes work. That takes work in order to figure out what I need to say to this person, that person, how the words may be different coming from my face, from this face, from that face. And I have to say, I was guilty of it as well until I saw the success of my growth as a athletic coach. For many years, I coached girls basketball. Mm-hmm. And right away, people like, oh, you a dude coaching girls. You got to be softer. You got to be this. You got to be that. You can't yell at them and everything. But with true, genuine, and a true, genuine process to self-awareness, I realized with, you know, the work, putting in the work, that I could do the things that I knew I needed to do as a coach, and it would not deteriorate the relationship I had with them. Now, a lot of adults, especially their parents, couldn't get it right away. But then as a leader, I knew the most important relationship for the team at that time was between the player and myself. So now you got to have the self-awareness and self-reflection to look past those naysayers, the finger pointing, them wanting your head on a platter, you name it. And I transcended that right into educational leadership. And it, now you're working with adults. Would you would think, oh, no, they get it. They understand. Uh-uh. You got a lot of 14-year-old, 40-year-olds out there.
Oh, my goodness. So how long have you had your business?
We were official in 2015.
Okay. So you've been doing this for a while. What's been one of the biggest lessons you've learned in your entrepreneurship and transition from the classroom into what you've built today, which is touching many different classrooms? But what's been one of the biggest lessons you've learned?
I think as far as being an entrepreneur, I didn't think that was in my future, in my this is your life, you know, biopic. because it was no different than I never thought I'd be a coach. Because as an athlete, a very avid athlete,
right?
I thought I saw the likes of Magic Johnson just being terrible as a coach, even because of his greatness. No different than they say, well, Michael Jordan couldn't be a coach. Because that level of greatness, a lot of people think it wouldn't transcend well, it wouldn't transfer over to people who want to be led by you. So a lot of messages would be missed or be mixed up or whatever. And once I recognized putting in the work again with coaching, I thought, okay, put that feather in my cap. But then when it came to being an entrepreneur, and you know, in the last 25 years or so, to hear people say, yeah, they got business cards, and then with technology and the internet, anybody could make a website and stuff. And I have friends that did it, and they hit a lot of obstacles, a lot of downward spirals and stuff. And many of them got hung up on the optics of making it look like, nah, I'm a CEO, I got my own business. And I thought like, nah, I didn't want to be that. And until I recognized what I was doing, speaking from my passion, speaking from my experience, telling a lot of truth that I didn't hear when I would go out for PD training. Sometimes I would have to pull some of those facilitators and trainers off to the side and to really press them for some of the truth that exists. And I figured me and my business partner, Dr. Candace Barnes, we got together, our 30 years combined, and just said, hey, we're going to go for broke. So a lot of those obstacles and downward slides we've hit, but I've recognized that those have to be there. They have to exist, just like coaching. You got to get beat by 30 every now and again. A good 20-piece game will let you know what you need to work on in practice. So we definitely have taken our hits and our lumps with the best of them, but the passion keeps us moving on. I've passed that on to some other people who have been inspired to start their own business, even as much as education. As the saying goes, if you are doing what you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
What advice do you offer to not even teachers, maybe teachers or professionals who are in the field or any field that they're working, and they don't feel that they have the passion anymore or the purpose anymore? in their current capacity or role. What suggestions do you offer for them?
I'm assuming education, right?
Or not.
Or just in general.
Yeah.
You've lost the luster. I have to say, I have to get back to personality mining. Like, as I said before, all of our behaviors have a source. And when we behave in certain circles, or what I like to call portals, and I'm using portal as its denotation, where it is a gateway, in this case, to what gets us centered. And being centered, meaning in obvious characteristics, mind, body, and spirit. Because let's face it, especially now, the way we are pressured and how we interact socially, especially, if it doesn't stimulate our senses, then that culture really isn't for us. Now, we may be pressured to stay there for whatever reason, for a paycheck, because your spouse is, or family, or whatever, or because it looks good, it has good optics. So the hard pill to swallow is to find out what really stimulates your senses when you are at your most centeredness, mind, body, and spirit. Like, so where are your thoughts when you are not trying to think? Like, what takes over your mind? What pleases the body? A lot of us take that for granted, especially as we get older, and think, nah, again, the inner athlete in me still has to thrive on, you know, being active. And then who are we in our spirit? You know, the very core of us. And you stir that up, sprinkle in a little something else that, you know, gives us some swag, gives us some soul. You'll be able to find maybe a rejuvenation of the passion. You may be introduced to something you probably have put on the back burner, some dreams deferred. I know I've coached a lot of female teachers where they 10, 12 years into it and they have lost it. And I've used my personality package process to help them reinvigorate why they're in this business, why they are good, especially rereading some of those letters that those students, when they're in college, when they graduate, oh, you did this for me. How do we get back to that? Well, you know, if I've been in the position to harness and supplant the culture that will speak more to their senses, then that's definitely a start. It's not easy because, again, life happens right before our eyes when we sleep, when we're not looking, and we look up and we've lived a certain way for 10 years, and to do something different or to find out where that passion really is, it takes work. It takes preparing the people around you to say, I'm about to do this. And, you know, my interaction is going to look different. And you got to be cool with it. Sometimes that means hurting family, mm-hmm. Hurting spouses.
Yeah, you have to walk and do what's best for you. And I think that's a really, really important point of that. And like you said, even with the personality assessment, you're really trying to find what's a good fit for mm-hmm. you as an individual. Todd, how can people find out more about Parker Education and Development? How can they like follow you on the web, see your content?
The best, because of the, what we do a lot of role playing, dynamic, interactive, PD, and things of that nature. So definitely our YouTube page is, you can see some videos and snippets of what we do when we offer our training. Of course, Facebook, Parker Ed Development. We're also on Twitter at Parker Ed, and definitely by email, parkereducator@gmail.com. And hey, why not call us? 501-310-1719.
Okay, Todd, what is your daily mantra? What pushes you through? What keeps you going? What keeps you influencing others?
Well, going back to what we spoke before, that actually is one of the steps in my personality package process. Once you mine down to the source of what keeps you centered, your behaviors and certain portals and what have you, once you develop the language that makes up who you are, step 4 out of 5 is your mantra. And the mantra is, mine is, coach yourself. Now, the reason why that's mine is because it is a shortened package, if you will, of who I really am. It is a neutral way of describing my personality, my genuine personality, my genuine display of who I am, wherever I am. So just like the coach in me can come off to some people as arrogant, intimidating, passionate, animated, you name it, but can't say I'm not coaching you. The fact that I add coach yourself is the innate educator in me, where in order to really know something or to teach something or pass something on, you got to really know it backwards and forwards. So I use that when I get a little bogged down or things get a little cloudy in my mind and in my mental. Coach yourself out of this, Todd. Come on, get yourself together. It even goes back to where the whole rubber band fad started. You had basketball players who had rubber bands on their wrists, and they will pop the rubber band to their wrists to remind them of their that particular game's message, would it be a rebounding, would it be shoot with confidence or something like that. So that little rubber band pop, that little reminder for me is coach yourself.
Thank you so much. Todd Parker, Parker Education and Development, ParkerEdAndDevelopment.com. Todd, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for being a guest on the Early Accountability Podcast.
Most indubitably.
It was a pleasure to have you join us on this episode of the Early Accountability Podcast with Kimmy Walker. Be sure to visit earlyaccountability.com to sign up for the Early Accountability newsletter. We look forward to activating your greatness and helping you reach your goals.